Welcome back to the PwC podcast. You know, we love to take these deep dives into topics that really make you think, and we hope inspire you too.
Yeah.
And today we're going to be exploring what it means to follow Jesus in a world that can feel a bit, well, challenging at times.
It's a timeless question.
It is.
And one that our sources for today really tackle head on. We're diving into some pretty profound ideas today. Being salt and light, navigating spiritual warfare.
Oh, yeah.
And even learning from one of history's biggest mistakes.
I love that you brought up salt and light. I feel like that phrase gets tossed around a lot. But what does it really mean for us, you know, like practically speaking in our daily lives?
That's a great question. You're right. It is a powerful metaphor.
It is.
Salt, for example, preserves. It enhances flavor, and it even has healing properties.
Hmm.
And light, of course, dispels darkness. It reveals what's hidden, and it guides us.
So we're supposed to be like flavored enhancers for the world. Okay, that's a pretty daunting task. Where do we even begin?
Yeah, it's not about forcing change on anyone. Think of it more as reflecting Jesus' goodness and truth
right.
in authentic ways. It's asking the question, how can we be sources of hope and encouragement
right.
to those around us?
I like that. It's about being that positive presence. But our sources also mention spiritual warfare, which sounds a bit more intense. Is it really like this epic good versus evil battle
yeah.
happening behind the scenes?
Is it like Lord of the Rings?
You know, think of it less as Lord of the Rings scenario,
okay.
and more about recognizing that there are unseen forces at work.
Okay.
Ephesians 6.12 says that our struggle isn't against flesh and blood,
right.
but against these spiritual forces of darkness.
Yeah.
They can influence our thoughts,
wow.
our actions, and even events.
So is it more about a battle for hearts and minds, like discerning truth from lies, choosing good over evil, that kind of thing?
You're getting it. And Romans 1.28-32 sheds more light on this.
Okay.
It explains how rejecting God doesn't just lead to spiritual emptiness, but it can have practical consequences in our lives. Broken relationships, poor choices, even a sort of clouded judgment.
Yeah.
We can see this play out in individuals and even in society as a whole.
Wow, that's pretty heavy stuff. So the spiritual warfare idea, it's not just some abstract theological concept, but it actually has tangible effects on the world around us.
That's a great observation, and it's something to be aware of as
yeah.
we try to live out our faith. But the good news is
yeah.
we aren't left defenseless. We have powerful tools on our side, truth, prayer, and God's love, to name a few. And that's something we'll be exploring more deeply as we go on.
Speaking of exploring deeper, if you're looking for a place to connect with others and delve into these topics further, we invite you to visit PwC Pittsford Wesleyan Church.
We'd love to have you join our community. It's a safe space to ask questions, wrestle with these ideas, and find support as you navigate this journey of faith.
Absolutely. And speaking of navigating this journey, our source material uses a powerful historical example
yeah.
to illustrate the importance of choosing truth over comfort, the story of Pontius Pilate washing his hands of Jesus' fate.
Ah, yes, a moment that speaks volumes about the danger of neutrality even when we know something is wrong.
It does.
Pilate had the authority to release Jesus. He even acknowledged Jesus' innocence, but he chose to appease the crowd instead, essentially saying, "It's your problem, not mine."
It's a powerful reminder for all of us, isn't it? It's easy to stay silent or avoid conflict, especially when things get uncomfortable. But following Jesus often means taking a stand even when it's difficult. But how do we overcome that tendency to, well, wash our hands of things?
That's a great question, and our sources offer some insightful answers. One key theme is the power of serving others.
Mm.
It's almost like a counterattack against the very things that fuel negativity and conflict.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Think about it. The enemy thrives on things like fear, division, and selfishness.
Right.
But when we serve others,
yeah.
we're actively choosing love, unity, and selflessness.
Hmm.
It's a powerful way to push back against the darkness, both in ourselves and in the world around us.
So it's not just about fighting against something, but also fighting for something. That's a really helpful perspective.
That's a fantastic way to put it. And our sources provide some specific examples of what this can look like in practice. Helping a friend in need, volunteering in your community, showing love and support to those who are struggling, even something as simple as offering a kind word or a listening ear.
These actions might seem small, but when you view them through this lens of spiritual warfare, they take on a whole new significance. It's like each act of kindness is a little victory for good.
And you never know the ripple effects these actions can have. Your one act of kindness could inspire someone else to do the same, and so
right.
on. It's about creating a chain reaction of positivity.
I love that image. It's so easy to feel overwhelmed by all the negativity in the world, but this reminds me that we each have the power to make a difference.
And you're right, those small acts of service can truly shift the balance. They're a tangible expression of what it means to be salt and light in the world, as we were discussing earlier.
Speaking of the world, it feels like things are more divided than ever these days. Conflicts are popping up everywhere, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed and discouraged by it all.
Yeah, it's true. Conflict seems to be everywhere we look these days, and our sources for today, they acknowledge this reality. But they also remind us that this division, this is exactly what the enemy wants. You know, it thrives on fear, anger, and discord.
So what's the antidote? How do we, as followers of Jesus, navigate these challenging times without getting swept up in all the negativity?
Well, the answer might be simpler than you think. Instead of getting caught up in the back and forth, the arguing and the negativity, we can choose to be a force for peace and understanding.
That sounds lovely in theory, but how does that actually play out in real life, especially when we're surrounded by so much conflict?
It starts by recognizing that we have a choice in how we respond. We can choose to engage in those conflicts with grace, humility, and a willingness to truly listen, even when we disagree with the other person's perspective.
I can already feel myself resisting that. It's so much easier to just get defensive
Yeah.
or jump into debate mode. Any practical tips for kind of shifting that mindset?
Well, our sources suggest that it starts with remembering that we are alone in this. We have the power of God working within us,
Right.
guiding us and strengthening us. When we tap into that power, we can approach those difficult conversations with more compassion and understanding.
That's a great reminder. It's so easy to forget that we're not in this alone. But our sources also seem to emphasize that this battle isn't just about avoiding conflict, it's about actively fighting for what's right.
You're picking up on a key theme here. It's not enough to simply be passive observers. Our sources challenge us to speak up for truth, even when it's uncomfortable or unpopular.
That could be a tough one, especially in today's world where it feels like everyone has such strong opinions and is ready to argue at the drop of a hat. How do we do that effectively without just adding more fuel to the fire?
It's a delicate balance. Our sources recommend approaching these conversations with humility, recognizing that we don't have all the answers. And remember, speaking truth doesn't always mean engaging in heated debates sometimes. It's about quietly living out our values, setting a good example, and letting our actions speak louder than our words.
So it's not about winning arguments, but about planting seeds of truth and letting God work in the hearts of others.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And our sources remind us that one of the most powerful ways to plant those seeds is through serving others. Remember, we were talking earlier about how service is a counterattack
Yes.
against the enemy's tactics.
Yes. You mentioned how it combats those things. The enemy loves fear, division, and selfishness. But it's more than just doing good deeds, right?
It's about approaching service with the right heart attitude. It's about seeing the image of God in every person we serve, even those who might be difficult to love.
That's a powerful perspective shift. It's easy to get caught up in the us versus them mentality, but when we choose to serve others, we break down those barriers and create a sense of unity.
That's the beauty of serving. It challenges our preconceived notions and allows us to connect with people on a deeper level.
Our sources give some great practical examples of what this might look like. Things like helping a neighbor in need, volunteering at a local charity, or simply offering a listening ear to someone who's struggling.
And these acts of service don't have to be grand gestures. Sometimes the most powerful acts of service are the small, everyday things, offering a kind word, holding a door open for someone, or simply being present and attentive when someone is sharing their heart. It's about recognizing those little opportunities to make a difference.
I'm sensing a theme here. It seems like a lot of this spiritual warfare is about those small intentional choices we make each day. It's about being mindful of our thoughts, our words, and our actions.
You're spot on. It's about choosing love over fear, unity over division, and truth over comfort. And those choices, even the seemingly small ones, can have a ripple effect that extends far beyond ourselves.
So it's not about being perfect or having all the answers, but about making those small, consistent choices to align ourselves with God's heart.
And remember, we aren't alone in this. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us and empowering us to live out those choices.
And if you're looking for a community that encourages and supports you on this journey of faith, we invite you to visit PWC Pittsford Wesleyan Church.
It's a place where you can ask tough questions, wrestle with these ideas, and find support as you navigate this spiritual warfare together.
Absolutely. And speaking of navigating this warfare, our sources bring up a really interesting point. They remind us that one of the enemy's most effective tactics is to make us feel overwhelmed and discouraged.
Yes, the enemy wants us to believe the lie that we're not strong enough, that the battle is too big, and that our efforts don't really matter.
It's so easy to fall into that trap, especially when we're bombarded with negative news and conflict all around us.
But our sources offer a powerful antidote to that discouragement, hope.
Hope. But how can we cling to hope when things seem so bleak?
Well, our sources remind us that true hope isn't based on our circumstances or our own strength.
Right.
It's rooted in something much deeper and more powerful, the unshakable promises of God.
Can you give us an example of what that might look like?
Absolutely. One of our sources specifically highlights a verse from 1 John 4.4,
Okay.
which says, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world."
Oh, I love that verse. It's such a powerful reminder that we're not fighting this battle alone. We have the power of God on our side.
And when we cling to that truth, we can face any challenge with courage and confidence, knowing that victory is already ours.
So even though we're in a spiritual battle, we're not destined to lose. We can choose to live from a place of hope and victory, even amidst the challenges.
That's a beautiful way to summarize it. It's not about ignoring the reality of the battle, but about choosing to focus on the source of our strength and victory.
This has been such an insightful conversation. We've covered a lot of ground, from being salt and light, to navigating spiritual warfare, to clinging to hope in the midst of challenges.
And through it all, our sources have provided practical guidance and encouragement for how to live out our faith in a world that desperately needs it.
Speaking of practical guidance, do our sources offer any specific action steps we can take to apply what we've learned today?
They do. They challenge us to consider three simple yet powerful actions this week.
Okay, I'm all ears. What are those action steps?
Well, first, they encourage us to find a way to serve someone this week. It doesn't have to be anything grand or time-consuming, just a simple act of kindness to brighten someone's day.
I love that it ties back to what we were talking about earlier about service being a powerful weapon in this spiritual warfare.
Exactly. The second action step is to pray for a situation that feels overwhelming or beyond our control. You know, it's a reminder that we don't have to carry those burdens alone.
Prayer is such a powerful tool, yet it's so easy to forget about it when we're caught up in the busyness of life.
It's true. And finally, our sources challenge us to speak up for what's right, even when it's uncomfortable or unpopular.
Now, that one could be a bit intimidating. Any tips for approaching those conversations effectively?
Remember what we talked about earlier, approaching those conversations with humility and grace? It's not about winning an argument or forcing our views on others, but about planting seeds of truth and letting God do the rest.
So it's about speaking the truth in love, even when it's hard.
That's the heart of it. And remember, speaking up for what's right doesn't always have to involve grand gestures or public pronouncements. Sometimes it's about those quiet acts of courage in our everyday lives, standing up to a bully, challenging a harmful stereotype, or simply refusing to participate in gossip.
Those small acts of courage can make a big difference. This has been such an eye-opening conversation. It's given me a fresh perspective on what it means to be a follower of Jesus in today's world.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Our sources have reminded us that it's not about being perfect or having all the answers, but about making those intentional choices each day to align ourselves with God's heart.
It's about being salt and light, serving others with love, and speaking up for truth, even when it's hard.
And knowing that we have the power of God working within us every step of the way.
And if you're looking for a community that encourages and supports you on this journey, we invite you to visit PWC Pittsford Wesleyan Church.
We'd love to have you join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. It's a place where you can connect with others, ask tough questions, and find encouragement as you navigate this thing called faith.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive on the PWC podcast, CCIO.